In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I receive this task to keep a presentation based on this song which we just sang. The kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field. In many temptations and doubts, I have prepared this presentation, and I wish to ask, can I believe my doubts and sins forgiven? I wish to believe in this way together with you. This song is very rich in linguistic imagery. It is largely based on Matthew chapter 13. In this chapter, Jesus first teaches the parable of the sower. In it, the seed, the word of God, was sown in different types of heart soil. Jesus himself explains this parable. In the same chapter, Jesus also tells the parables of the wheat and the tares and the mustard seed and the leaven. And he also explains the parable of the weeds. Then Jesus tells this parable about the treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. Jesus taught much with parables. The children of God understand through faith these parables by the influence of the Holy Spirit. This song tells us about God's greatness, power, and love. About the kingdom of God's grace, which is here on earth. About its beauty, love, care, and nurturing. About the most precious gift, the gift of faith. The joy and happiness of the finder in the heart. It calls to seek and own childlike faith. And it tells about God's or the Holy Spirit's guidance and trust. I will start with a question. I ask you, dear listener, what does the kingdom of God and the treasure of faith mean to you? How do you see and experience it? God's love. I thought I would speak a few words about the beginning of the Bible, the story of creation. In the early pages of the Bible, in Genesis, we can read about the wonders of God's creation. How God, in his greatness and omnipotence, created all that is visible and invisible by his holy word. God created man in his own image and to live in communion with him in the paradise of Eden. We remember how Adam and Eve lived there. They were the only believers on earth. The enemy of the soul, who continues his work even today, caused that first pair of humans to act against God's will. We remember how God spoke to Adam and Eve. He gave the promise of the coming Messiah, His Son, the Lord Jesus, who would atone for the sins of the world. I won't go any deeper into this. John writes about this great love of God toward created and fallen humankind. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. When Jesus was then born according to the promise, the believers of that time got to live the promise of God about the coming Messiah, Lord Jesus. When the shepherds heard on Christmas night, "For unto you is born this day a Savior," they had believed in the word of this promise. Today we get to believe in the crucified Savior, who was victorious over death and ascended into heaven, who will come again to judge the living and the dead, as we confess in the Creed. The kingdom of God, the congregation of God. Jesus taught the people of His time with many parables. They were often very simple, things related to temporal life and easily understandable by everyone. Jesus illustrated the nature of the kingdom of God with over 30 parables. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of grace here in time, and the kingdom of glory once in eternity in heaven. In its inner essence, it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, as Paul writes to the Romans. God has given in His holy word the characteristics of the Christian church and likewise the kingdom of God. The congregation must always be built on the foundation of God's word. The congregation battles and endeavors in faith to achieve that goal, eternal life in heaven. Paul writes in his letter to Timothy how the house of God is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Those who have slept away in faith and reached their destination are in the rest of righteous, awaiting the day of resurrection in a rejoicing congregation. We are here in the present, still in the endeavoring and battling congregation. The believers of the early church wanted to stay together. They wanted to be in the home Zion, which is a safe place and a care room. Although faith is personal, we are not alone. The author of the letter to the Hebrews advises, "And let us take care of one another that we may work diligently out of love and good deeds. Do not neglect meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." The Bible also encourages us to bear one another's burdens. It is a great gift that we can turn to a believing brother or sister to lighten our burden. The gospel strengthens weak faith. Paul was also told, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." according to our Christian doctrine, the Christian congregation is a stranger, scattered and babbling on earth. It lives under the guidance of the Holy Spirit until the end of the world, but will appear with Christ at his coming, glorified and rejoicing. The congregation is both earthly and heavenly. It is present and it is coming. It is hidden and it is public. It is divine and it is human. No words or human conclusions can reach the true essence of this holy, common, and Christian church. Members of the Christian congregation, the children of God, are united with each other in Christ. Jesus describes this very powerfully in the parable of the vine. In John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are also clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in them, bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown out like a branch and withers. And they will gather them and throw them into the fire, and they will be burned. Thus we, the children of God, live in unity with one another in the true vine. Where the Lord of life, Jesus Christ, is the root and source of strength. God tends to each branch as the gardener, so that it may bear good fruit, and even so, that it would produce even more abundant fruit. Jesus also tells another parable about the kingdom of God, the parable of the weeds and the wheat. He put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while people were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. But when the seed began to grow and bore fruit, then the thorns also appeared. The servants of the householder came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? So where did the weeds come from? So he said to them, An enemy did this. But servants said to him, Do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, No, lest while you gather up the thorns, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest, and at the harvest time, I will say to the reapers, Gather first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. I think in this way, the enemy of the soul wherever the word of God is sowed, the enemy of souls comes to sow doubt and unbelief. The enemy of the soul is not idle, even in this time. In the kingdom of God, there are also tares, people who have been deceived by the enemy of the soul. They may be very close, beloved people. The enemy, the soul's adversary, has sown and continues to sow these tares among the people of God's kingdom. In this field where this most precious treasure is, where the gift of faith is hidden, the Master's instruction was that they should not be weeded out, so that God's precious crop would not be accidentally lost along with them. Such people may walk with the children of God, but the enemy of the soul has found a place in their hearts. We see only the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. Therefore, it is important, and I will say it again, it is important that we diligently endeavor in our personal faith. And also love your neighbor's immortal soul graciously with heartfelt love. That we, guided by the counsel of God's word, could direct and lead each other on the path to heaven. To each of us, God's children, has also been given the task of sowing this good seed into all kinds of soil. The kingdom of God is a battling congregation. Paul reminds the children of God in Corinthians, for there must also be factions among you, so that those who are tried may be recognized among you. In battle, we need battle gear. God has given each of us, the residents of the kingdom of God, good armor to wear. And we have been given the knowledge of against whom we are fighting. Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places, against the rulers of this world's darkness. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." And then he lists the gear. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod, prepared to proclaim the gospel of peace. But in everything, take the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Then there is also a very important and noteworthy matter. And Paul continues, and pray at all times with all prayer and a supplication in the Spirit, and watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And he continues, and for my sake, that I would be given speech with an open mouth to speak boldly and thus make known the mystery of the gospel. It is good to remember and to pray for the servants of the word. This battle gear that Paul wrote about, it is noteworthy that the provided equipment was for defense and protection. Only one was a weapon. That was the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. When the Holy Spirit uses this sword of the Spirit, there is incredible power in it. It is two-edged. It includes the law and the gospel. In this kingdom, over time, people from many nations and nationalities have walked the narrow path. They have believed in the same way, first in the word of the promise, and then later in the atoning work of the crucified Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God has walked on feet to this day and continues to do so as long as it is God's time. We do not know where and when the sowing of God's Word will grow in good soil. The light of the Word of God shines in the darkness as brightness, and the darker it is, the brighter it shines. The parable of the 10 virgins reminds us of that today, that we take care of our own lamp, our weak faith, and that we would keep the oil container in the lamp full of oil and the lamp burning. That we would be ready when the bridegroom arrives. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And he teaches, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We can say with the words of the Psalm, Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. the kingdom of God? How does it appear to this world? Already before, we heard through the brother what this kingdom of God looks like. The Pharisees asked Jesus, when will the kingdom of God come? Jesus answered them and said, the kingdom of God will not come with observation, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. And Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. A faithful heart feels this. It is spiritual. It is eternal and imperishable. Its boundaries traverse as a connection of souls from heart to heart. The kingdom of God is seen from the outside as very lowly, like a hut in a cucumber field, like a besieged city, as Isaiah writes. This hut is a simple, temporary shelter built from branches and leaves. It is particularly associated with the Feast of Tabernacles, which the Jews celebrated in memory of the Israelites' wanderings in the wilderness after their liberation from Egypt. This is how it appears to the people of this world. The enemy of the souls wants to hide it from people. It does everything it can to make that field look truly miserable. Like the most insignificant clay field, so that no human would accidentally walk through this field and find that most precious treasure, the kingdom of God, for themselves. The value of this treasure is not revealed by just seeing the field, the kingdom of God. The treasure is hidden, yet it is still accessible to everyone. And as I said, the enemy of the soul wants to hide it from people. But God can and is able to open it through faith when one receives the gift of faith by grace for oneself. A person's eyes are open just like Saul's were. Jesus encourages, seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. The disciples asked Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus answered, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. To the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if our gospel is veiled, It is veiled to those who are perishing. I mean those whose minds the God of this world has blinded, so that they do not see the light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God shining in their unbelief. We do not proclaim a message about ourselves, but about Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord, and He has sent us to serve you. God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has shone in our hearts. Thus, the glory of God, which shines from the face of Christ, is learned to be known, and it spreads its light. True happiness and peace can only be felt by the human heart in God. God seeks and calls people to Himself. It is entirely God's work if and when a person finds this treasure. God has promised to guide the seeking person to His kingdom as long as the person is obedient to His call. The value of the kingdom of God and its true riches are only revealed after one has received the grace of repentance. A new, beloved home has been found with a father, a mother, and dear brothers and sisters. Congregation Mother, Paul writes, "The Jerusalem that is above is free, which is the mother of us all." God is the Father in heaven. The kingdom of God is the mother here on earth, Sarah's mother. There are many brothers and sisters in faith. The kingdom of God is priceless. Here we are lovingly cared for and carried in the light of the Holy Spirit with warmth and love. Have you experienced that love and warmth? Have you experienced the love and warmth of how your own mother loves you? Or how you, dear mother, love and take care of your own children? The mother does everything she can to make sure that the children feel good and safe, cares, feeds, protects, helps, and carries. If there are wounds, she cleanses and comforts. The mother works unselfishly, with heartfelt love. Makes an effort for the children and family. It is a work of inestimable value. In the midst of this time, its value is even more emphasized. One day God will reward you. May God give us all the right mind, love of heart, strength of faith, and confidence in the future. In the same way, the kingdom of God, Sarah as a mother, is here on earth. its loveliness, beauty, and immeasurable richness and love we cannot comprehend and understand. We can't really describe it in words. It is only experienced in the believing heart, how the congregation mother cares, raises, and loves me, a small, weak, falling child. It is important to be obedient to the advice of the dear mother. The congregation mother advises and guides us to walk the right path. It guides us in the right direction at the crossroads of our lives. God has promised to bless obedient children with the blessing of temporal life, but above all, with a heavenly, eternal blessing. In the kingdom of God, we are forgiven all sins by grace, according to Jesus' command and by His authority, without our own merit. The congregation mother wants you, dear friend, brother and sister, to go home one day to the home of heaven. Treasure. An earthly temporal treasure can be a physical object. Historical finds, such as Viking treasures, gold, precious stones, various valuable jewelry. It can be a larger or smaller amount of property, money, and so on. It can also be power, honor, knowledge, and wisdom, human wisdom. Many people base their lives on these temporal treasures. You remember how a certain rich man came to Jesus. He asked Jesus, "What must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus replied that you know the commandments and list them to the one who asks. So the man answered and said, "I have observed all these things from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and divide the money among the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the man heard this, he was grieved, for he was very rich. When Jesus saw this, he said, "How difficult it is for those who possess much to enter the kingdom of God." Man so easily becomes attached to this temporal treasure, goods, wealth, the course of life, and man's wisdom. This man was rich temporally and also spiritually. the most important thing is to remember what I base my life on. Where do you base your life on? Jesus taught and reminded us in his Sermon on the Mount that we should not lay up temporal treasures. This is where the moth and rust wreak havoc. Thieves break in and steal. And he teaches us to lay up heavenly treasures. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. At some point, all these temporal riches and treasures will disappear and completely lose their meaning. Eternal treasure. A child of God as the owner of this treasure. The treasure of faith is not material. The greatest treasure here on earth is to possess the gift of faith by the grace of God. To have been forgiven all sins in the name and atonement blood of Jesus. Even today, Jesus is the door through which one has to enter the kingdom of God and its participation. God's kingdom is a precious treasure. We can't describe its beauty. At least I can't. Even though I have tried to think about it during these past days, I can't describe it. It is eternal and it is permanent. The immortal soul longs for spiritual nourishment. God feeds his children through his word. Paul writes to the Romans, "For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Jesus taught that we should lay up treasure for ourselves in heaven. What does it mean to gather treasures in heaven? Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteous will, and all these things will be added to you." God has promised the owner of faith that he will also give us the needs and blessings of temporal life. We don't always have the strength to believe so simply. We do not see these with our clay eyes, let alone comprehend God's purpose in our own lives. Especially when things don't go the way I planned or I thought they would. Or if I encounter something that stops me in life. However, God's will is good. He wants to lead his children to the glory of heaven. We can trust in God's promises. At this time, the world is talking about overpopulation, climate change, and so on. Ecological thinking is a good thing. We have been created to cultivate and to protect. We must not forget that God is the creator and sustainer of everything. Man decides, but God decrees. Even ecological thinking can become an idol. However, the world does not talk about how much defilement there is from sin. This should be the biggest concern. The redemption of every person's soul is excessively precious, says the Bible. And we would not want Christ's redemptive work to be wasted on any person. Gathering eternal treasure means being obedient to God's word and following Jesus in doctrine, life, and suffering. Above all, it means believing in Jesus' atonement personally. God's only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has redeemed us and in His mercy has prepared the way for us to possess heavenly treasure. It is important to quieten and to listen to God's word. And with such a request and prayer that God, through His Holy Spirit, would give me new strength of faith in the battle against sin, would feed the immortal soul, would open the eyes of faith to see towards the eternal goal, the home of heaven. It is good and important for us to take care of and nurture our own faith life. Endeavoring is a part of every believer's life. It's good to remember that you don't have to compete for, you don't have to endeavor for more than a day's journey at a time, or endeavor in the moment. A large number of God's children are walking on the same path. We have been put here as escorts. We lift and carry each other. In the midst of this time, at different stages of life, in everyday struggles, when faced with adversity and trials, the gift of faith can easily fade. Don't we want to take care of our own faith? How can we do this? By attending services and other gatherings of God's children. By discussing about matters of faith with dear brothers and sisters. By sharing the load and putting away sin that always entangles. And what is most important, in the kingdom of God, the voice of the Good Shepherd is always heard. Everyone can believe their sins and falls forgiven by grace. The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes it. Paul also reminds us that this treasure is in the hands of us children of God in clay vessels. Why? To see that immense power comes from God and not from ourselves. The call to own faith. Jesus began His own public ministry by proclaiming the gospel. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The same call is heard today from the kingdom of God for you, dear friend. Jesus gave His own followers, believers, the task of testifying about Him. He sent His own disciples to do the work of God's kingdom. As the Father sent me, so I send you. He breathed on them and said, "Take the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, to them they are forgiven in heaven." By the power of the Holy Spirit, every child of God can proclaim this most precious gospel to all creatures. This is the good news that we can take forward. To do it in our own lives with the gifts, powers, and skills that Heavenly Father has given us. This too is the fruit of faith. We must remember that there is no such thing as a child of God without talent. I find it very beautiful, appealing, and encouraging, the words of Song 111. "Preach repentance of sins to all, the word of grace and comfort for the security of souls." We all certainly have this desire of the heart. In Jesus' parable, the man hid the treasure in a field and then bought the entire field. The man had been looking for that treasure. Even today, there may be a person who is looking for this treasure. Finding the treasure was the biggest and most precious thing in this man's life as well. He was ready to sell all his possessions in order to own this most precious treasure that can be owned in this time. According to Christian doctrine, knowing God and our Savior Jesus Christ and becoming a child of God is the most precious thing in our lives. Jesus wanted to clarify the meaning of the most important thing in life. There are many important and even valuable things in life that are for this time. They are temporal matters. There are dangers associated with the pursuit of temporal wealth. The heart easily becomes attached to them. They may start to control your life and the direction of your life. Temporal wealth is not bad in itself, but love for these temporal things easily leads away from faith. Faith dries up if you don't take care of it and protect it. Jesus teaches, no one can serve two masters. If he loves the other, he hates the other. If he values the other, he despises the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Greed can also come close to the pursuit of possessions. Paul reminds young Timothy of the dangers of greed. For covetousness is the root of all evil, which some have coveted and have strayed from the faith and brought much grief upon themselves. Jesus says in Luke 12, "Be careful to avoid all forms of covetousness. No one can build their life on property, no matter how much they have." And he told them a parable. There was a rich man who had a good harvest out of his land. He said to himself, "What shall I do? My harvest will no longer fit anywhere." He decided, "Let me do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones in their place. In them I will gather my entire crop and everything else I own. Then I will say to myself, 'It is good for you to live. You have all the best in store for many years. Rest now, eat, drink, and enjoy life.' But God said unto him, 'Thou fool, tonight your soul will be reclaimed from you. And all that you have reserved for yourself, to whom will it go?' This is what will happen to the one who lays up riches for himself, but who has no treasure with God." Regarding the transience of all things temporal, righteous Job states, "As a rich man he goes to sleep. When he opens his eyes, all things are gone." Even large possessions have been lent from God. He can give temporal wealth, and he can also take it away. We can ask God for a satisfied mind, strength, so that we would not get attached to the things of temporal life and build our lives on them. With childlike faith, one wins a prize, eternal life in heaven. So once in his life, young Moses also had to make a choice. There was a choice between a rich and easy life at the Egyptian's court, or a life in the kingdom of God, poor and heavy in a temporal sense, but rich in a spiritual sense. The choice gave him a clear direction and goal in his life. He thought that keeping the gift of faith and blasphemy against Christ was a greater than all the things of Egypt. For he looked to the payment of wages. We also have to make choices in life. None of the temporal things are permanent. The gift of life is also short compared to eternity. You gave me only a handful of days, but my life is like a fleeting moment in your eyes. People are only a breath of wind. All are calm, says the psalm writer. I would like to raise one more point. The joy of the finder. When he finds the kingdom of God and can believe all his own sins forgiven. In the parable, the man wanted to hide the treasure back in the field because he was afraid of losing the treasure he had found to thieves. He wanted to hold on to what he had found and received. At that time, it was customary for the buyer of a field to keep everything that the field contained or was hidden. The joy of the finder is connected to the parable of the lost sheep told by Jesus. Which of you is the man that hath 100 sheep? And if he loses one of them, shall he not leave 99 in the wilderness and go after him that is lost until he finds it? And when he finds it, he lays it upon his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes to his house, he shall call together his friends and the men of his village and say unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. I say unto you, so shall there be joy in heaven over every sinner, over one sinner who heals himself. This is how God's children also rejoice. Have you experienced this kind of joy? The discoverer of God's kingdom has great joy. And in the kingdom of God, people rejoice. This immense joy we feel and experience in our hearts through faith. The Holy Spirit affects this. Even today, God is looking for and calling those who are wandering. You and I. The God's children are the heralds of the call, you and I. Jesus taught, if anyone comes to me and is not willing to give up his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whosoever beareth not his cross and walk after me cannot be my disciple. I want to tell an example, share an example as an encouragement to us. A young person had been pondering life's big questions for a long time. Over the past year, she had faced several losses that made her wonder what would happen after this life. She longed for answers and sought direction for her thoughts. Through social media, she bumped into people of faith who openly shared their lives and everyday lives. She had been wondering for a long time whether she would dare to contact one of them. Eventually, she found courage and sent a message on Instagram to a young mother who was a believer. In her message, she asked, "Are you a conservative Lestadian? You just exude such peace and joy." The conversation through messages quickly deepened. This believing mother answered questions and guided her to listen to services online. She also talked about ROIs, where anyone could come to listen and to watch if they were interested in matters of faith. Time passed, and about a year later, the young person contacted the same believing mother again. She told her how strange it felt to read old messages. Then she was still full of uncertainty and fear. The message began with God's peace. Now, her life was full of light. Her faith had become clear. Today, she has a believing partner by her side and people around her who support her in her faith. Although this young person had to face losses, such as distancing herself from her family and old friends, she felt she had gained much love, much more in return. "I feel like I have a bigger family than I did then. I have more friends, real friends." She now had friends who invited her to services and youth evenings. She had been warmly welcomed everywhere. The large family of the person she is dating feels more like her own than the one she grew up in. And his parents are like her own. She knows she can always turn to them for advice and support. She says, "Things have been explained to me that I have not understood. Now I understand that faith is the foundation of everything. It's unbelievable that I'm a believer. Deep down, I know this is the right way." In the summer, this young person had received the grace of repentance at the summer services. It was an experience she couldn't put into words. "I had been afraid of death a lot, but I wasn't afraid of anything anymore." She felt confident in how God had and still has a plan for her life. Even though distancing herself from her family had been difficult, she knows that she belongs to something bigger. A family of faith, the kingdom of God, the fellowship of the church. This was the most important thing to her, and she would never want to lose it. In this way, God can lead a person to his kingdom through social media. A few more words. Trials. There are times like that in life too, when the enemy of the soul is able to exhaust and tire. Faith weakens if we cannot hear the gospel. It may happen that weak faith dies. You start to see faults and mistakes in your former dear brothers and sisters. You can't forgive them for their faults and mistakes even beforehand. There will be a merciless heart, as in one of the parables taught by Jesus about two servants who were in debt, Matthew 18. Jesus first teaches, after all, we are all defective and sinful. We need grace. We don't want to live in sin and the permissibility of sin, yet we fall into sin daily. We are sinners, but pardoned sinners, because by grace we have received all sins forgiven. The same thing happens to that dear congregation mother. The congregation is a mother who is near and dear to us, nurtures and cares for us, each of us, with heavenly love and warmth, grace and truth. That too begins to look defective and insignificant. This too is the work of the enemy of the soul. However, God's power is greater. Christ, as a rock, as a foundation, endures the winds and storms throughout life. Today, dear listener, right here and now, it's good to think about where I want to attach my own heart. Where to seek refuge in times of need. Where is my security? Finally, a common goal. As the book of Revelation says, once upon a time there will be a great multitude of the children of God in white robes, people from all countries, peoples, and tribes, at the throne of Christ. And one of the elders answered and said to me, "Who are these men clothed in white robes, and whence have they come?" And I said to him, "Lord, you know that." And he said to me, "These are the ones who came out of great trouble. They have washed their garments and have made their garments light in the blood of the Lamb." We can rely on the words of Jesus when he said in his farewell speech, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither be afraid." Today, the most important thing is that we can believe our own sins forgiven. Believe my brothers and sisters all sins and faults and mistakes of the journey forgiven in Jesus' name and atoning blood. If there is someone here who feels he or she is not part of this congregation, you did well when you came. You may believe your unbelief and all sins forgiven in the name and atonement blood of Jesus. Come and follow Jesus Christ with us in doctrine, life, and suffering. One day it will be said to us, weak travelers, "You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness."